Thank you, Scott, for that reminder of the goodness and graciousness of the Lord. 1996, Harley Sheffield was offered the honor of a lifetime. He was invited to be part of a 15,000-mile relay that would bring the Olympic flame from the Barcelona Olympics to Atlanta. His particular task was to carry the flame across the Tacoma Narrows Bridge in Washington State. He was to ride his bicycle across the bridge with a special apparatus that had been mounted so that he could carry the Olympic flame. This is the kind of opportunity that almost nobody is ever given. And when his time came to carry the flame, you can imagine how nervous he was. He wanted to make sure that everything was exactly right. And as they mounted the flame upon his bicycle and he began, he did so with real trepidation. But as he was making his way across the bridge and everything was going well, he began to say to himself, you know, this is pretty easy. There's nothing to this. And he began to relax and he began to enjoy making his trip across the bridge until he got about halfway across. And that's when his bicycle blew a rear tire. And he lost control of his bicycle. And it crashed to the ground. And he watched in horror as the Olympic flame was extinguished. Everybody who had come to watch him panicked. Nothing like this had ever happened before. There'd never been a time when the flame had been extinguished on its way across the country, on its way to its new destination. And everybody was not sure what to do, except the people who were in charge of the Olympic flame event. And they walked over to where the flame had fallen, and they picked up the torch that had been extinguished, and they went back to a van that had been following him across the bridge. And they opened the back of the van, and they took the torch and reached it inside and lit it again. And that's when everybody discovered that the true Olympic flame was not the one that was being carried across the relay. The true Olympic flame was always protected so that if anything ever happened, it could be lit again and continue its journey. All they had to do was go back to the source and light the flame anew. Now, why is that important this morning? Because the same thing can happen in your spiritual life. You can begin your walk with Christ with a great passion for the Lord, but the time may come when you stumble. The flame begins to grow faint. There may come that time when you take it for granted and you begin to decide, this is not going to be so hard after all. And then you find yourself falling. You wonder, will anything ever be right again? Then you repent, you return, and you discover the Lord is right where He's always been. And the flame can be rekindled. All you have to do is go back to the source. All you have to do is return to that place where the flame began to burn in the first place. And I say that this morning because I think there's no greater need in our lives or in our land than for God's people to return to the source of our spiritual flame, to remember who we are, to remember whose we are, to return to our spiritual roots, to restore a dynamic trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're going to restore the flame, there's something we have to avoid at all costs. Not the sin of rejecting the Lord. Not the choice of deliberately disobeying His command. We have to make the decision to avoid the decision that will lead us away from a strong faith in Christ. What am I talking about? Complacency. Spiritual complacency. Taking your faith in Christ for granted. Second Chronicles tells the story of Asa, the king of Judah, who began his reign with a strong faith, but by the end of his life, he found himself alone, separated from God, and living a life that didn't matter anymore. What happened to this once powerful spiritual leader? He allowed his faith to become a casual thing in his life. He took the Lord's grace for granted. He let his flame flicker out, and he became complacent in his walk with God. The Bible tells us the steps we need to take to avoid or to return from that season of spiritual complacency in our lives. And this morning, I want us to look together at the life and the experience and the lesson we can learn from the life of Asa. If you look, one of the things you'll discover is that Asa began with a passion for following the Lord. His story begins in 2 Chronicles 14. When Asa became king, he knew he needed the Lord's help in everything he did. Asa had been given a great blessing in his life, and that great blessing was his father, Abijah, who had been the king before him, because Abijah had walked with God. Abijah had set the example. Asa knew exactly what it meant to live a godly life because Abijah had lived out that godly life before him for as long as he could remember. He'd seen that strong faith, that rich walk with God. And Asa knew this: I want my relationship with the Lord to be exactly like my father's relationship. I want my influence for God to be exactly the same as my father, Abijah's. I want to live a life where I lead other people to follow the Lord. And that's what he did. Asa set out to lead his people to trust God in all their ways. We read together in our passage just a few moments ago about all of the things that Asa did to restore his people to a right relationship with God, how he broke down idols and he cleared out places that had been dedicated to sin, and he led his people to follow the Lord. But there was one defining moment, one defining event that confirmed how essential it was going to be for Asa to depend upon the Lord. You see, the Bible tells us there came this time when an enemy army attacked Judah. They outnumbered the Judean soldiers 3-1. They possessed weapons that Asa could only dream of. There was no chance that Asa was going to be able to defend his people from this attacking army. And he knew it. And he also knew this: the only chance I have is to turn to the Lord and seek his help. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, "Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether by many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let man prevail against you." And God heard Asa's prayer, and he answered his prayer with a great demonstration of power that left no doubt he had delivered his people. Asa and the people of Judah were able to defend themselves and overcome an enemy, and they knew the only way this happened is that God stepped in and God redeemed us. God set us free from the power of an enemy. And when it was done, the Lord made a promise to Asa. He said this: "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." What a powerful passage from God's word. What an incredible challenge to Asa and his people, but not just that. God is calling you and me to live with that same kind of dependent faith today. God wants us to be exactly where Asa led his people to be. Lord, we can't do this alone. Father, there's no chance that we can overcome the power of the enemy. There's no way that we can live with victory apart from you. God, we need your help. God wants us to see him moving among us in such a way that the only possible explanation is Jesus. Jesus did this. We know We could not accomplish it by ourselves. The people around us understand that the only explanation is the Lord. So we can know He's with us. So we can realize He is mighty to save. So we can seek after Him with all of our hearts. And all of those things come to pass when you turn to Him. Asa and his people entered into a great season of glorifying God in everything they did. They heard the promise that God had made. And they depended upon the Lord. And because of that, the Bible says they enjoyed a time of peace and prosperity under the leadership of Asa, the godly king. The Bible also tells us this: the time came when Asa's dependence on God began to fade. Not because Asa experienced a crisis of faith, not because he turned his back on the things that he believed, not because he was disappointed in God. It was none of those things. This is what the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 15:19. It says, "And there was no war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa." Now, what does that mean? There was no danger, no stress, no struggle. Asa was not convicted that he had to trust God to provide for him and take care of him, because after all, things are going really well. And when things became comfortable, Asa's faith became complacent. He began to regard God's blessings as his own accomplishments and not the work of the Lord. He thought he had a right to thrive in whatever he chose to do. Worst of all, Asa began to say to himself, "You know, things are always going to go your way. It's always going to be easy. You're never going to have to struggle. The hard parts are behind you, so you don't have to depend on the Lord the way you used to depend upon Him. After all, things are going pretty well right now. I think you can relax. Take it easy. No need to be so dependent upon God." And every day the Lord became less important in the way he lived his life, until finally the day came when he was lost to complacency. He never rebelled. He never rejected the faith of his father. He just forgot. He forgot what it meant to depend on the Lord. He neglected what it meant to trust in Him. Asa neglected what the Lord had once told him. "But you, be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." Complacency. It's still a huge danger to God's people. When active dependence disappears, when people exchange a dynamic trust in the Lord for a comfortable belief that doesn't demand anything of you, when you convince yourself that you can handle whatever comes along without trusting Him. Never forget that nothing is more dangerous to a healthy soul than to become too comfortable. Nothing is more dangerous to a healthy soul than to decide, "I've got it covered. Everything's taken care of. No need to worry about depending too closely on God." Asa's casual faith led to a critical mistake. The Bible says, after many years of peace, Asa once again confronted an overwhelming enemy, King Baasha, who led Israel to war against Judah, placed them under siege. Once again, the power of the enemy was too much to overcome. Once again, Asa realized, "I can't do this by myself. I can't overcome this enemy. I'm in real trouble." But this time, he responded to the threat in a completely different way than he had before. Instead of turning to God, Asa turned to men to deliver him and his people. Asa emptied the treasuries of, of Judah, and he sent it to the king of Syria, and he bought help from the Syrian army. He depended upon somebody else to step in and fill that role that the Lord once filled in his life. And he was so sure that what he had done showed that his own wisdom was going to deliver he and his people, and he didn't have to worry about depending upon the Lord. And this is what the Lord told Asa: because you have relied on the king of Syria and not on the Lord, therefore from now on you will have wars. You used to experience peace. There was a time when you lived under my blessing. But I'm going to tell you this: from now on, no more peace in your life. Because he'd grown complacent, because he'd forgotten to put the Lord where he belonged, he would never know peace again for the rest of his life. Never forget this: spiritual complacency will always lead to a powerless faith. Spiritual complacency leads to the kind of faith that looks good on the outside, but there's nothing powerful on the inside. Spiritual complacency leads to that point where you're doing all of the right things, but not for the right reasons. Spiritual complacency says this: if I go to the right places and say the right words and do the right things, then God owes it to me to bless my life. And none of those things are true. And God says to us, in those times when you allow yourself to become complacent, in those times when you begin to say, I can depend upon myself or the wisdom of other people or the opinions that other people may have, if those things become too important in my life, then God will say, you'll know nothing but conflict in the depths of your heart. You're never going to know what it means to experience the kind of peace that only Christ can give, because you're not depending on him anymore. Then God challenged Asa, turn back to a burning faith. God made a promise to Asa, but it applies to you and it applies to me as well. It's one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. The Lord is looking for a reason to bless your life. He wants to show himself strong. When I read that passage, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of a lighthouse. And the light is flashing, warning people of danger, seeking troubled ships. And the Bible says the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro, looking for an opportunity to show himself faithful in your life. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that powerful? That he's promising, I will meet you where you need me the most, and I will restore the flame in your life. You just have to trust me. You have to meet his conditions. What's he looking for? A loyal heart, a surrendered life, and a complete dependence upon his power to save. I'm looking for that opportunity. My eyes are running to and fro. I'm seeking loyal hearts. I'm looking for searching spirits. I so want to restore those people who will depend upon me. Here's the tragedy of the story. Asa refused. He saw no need to return to a dependent faith. He wouldn't hear God's promises. He wouldn't listen to God's word. He chose to continue living as a complacent soul. And the shame of it is, he died when God could have saved him. He lost everything to a complacent heart. And today, you face a decision of your own. Maybe today you're here and the truth is you need to confess, Lord, my faith has become way too complacent. I've taken too many things for granted, and it's been a long time since I've actively depended upon you for every need in my life. We need to ask him, Lord, take me back to the source. Let the flame burn again in my life. Restore your power in my faith. I need you. I need you more than anything. And so today, I surrender my life to you. Nothing held back. Realizing the power of complacency and recognizing how much I need to return to the one who loves me most. Because I have a promise for you. And the promise is simply this. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And here's my question. So how is that verse relating to your life today? Are you here this morning and you would say to yourself, you know what, Lord, I really seek hard to have a loyal heart. I really do everything I can to depend upon you. Lord, thank you that you're looking and you're watching and you're committed. And I trust you. But it could also be this morning that you're here and you're thinking, you know what? I've really started taking my faith for granted. I haven't turned away from the Lord. I haven't rejected Jesus. I'm just doing it all on my own. When I really know I need to depend upon him and him alone, I need to get back to that first flame. And let him do in me what only he can do. It may be this morning that you're here and the truth is that flame has never burned in your heart because you've never invited Christ to be your Savior and your Lord. Oh, you know about him and you've heard about him and you believe the truth about him, but you've never once said, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. Save me. In a minute, we're going to stand. We're going to sing an invitation hymn. It'll be your opportunity to say yes to Jesus. If you need to trust him, if you'll just come here, I'll be glad to meet you and introduce you to the Savior. Maybe the Lord's calling you to be part of this fellowship, and he wants you to bring your membership right here and trust and follow him and depend upon him today. Maybe today you need to come and simply say, you know what? I've allowed complacency to have a place in my life. And today I confess it. And I just need somebody to pray with me about it. Is there a decision you need to make? We're going to stand. We're going to sing. As God speaks, you come. Let's stand together.